It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for July 6th. I'm Patricia Naft. On the ballot in November, Coloradans will be voting on Colorado Care, an amendment to the state constitution that would establish a single-payer health insurance system. Former Colorado State Senator Jeanine Nicholson led the effort to place the measure on the ballot through a citizens' initiative that garnered more than 150,000 signatures. Reporter Allison Bechtis with Aspen Public Radio recently spoke with Nicholson about Colorado Care and about what switching insurance systems will mean for Coloradans.
It will mean that the citizens will pay a premium tax with their payroll. So if you're an employee, you will pay 3.33% of your income. If you are an employer, you will pay 6 2/3% for all of your employees. And if you are self-employed, you will pay something less than 10%. If you are retired and on Medicare, you will pay something less than 10% based on your tax bracket.
So what do you tell people who have health care provided and all of a sudden 3% of their income would start going to this?
We tell them that this will be a good supplemental plan for them and that they may be quite surprised about whether their coverage is as good as they think that it is. Colorado Care would have no deductibles. Almost all health insurance plans have deductibles. Colorado plan would have no copays for preventive care. And so what happens is that many people have health coverage, but when it's time for them to use it, they realize they actually can't afford to use their health care coverage because of the high deductibles and copays.
Do you take into consideration cost of living? Really, this whole valley is just such a high cost of living. So a 3% hit for like the working people of Aspen might be a significant portion of their remaining funds.
The other way to look at that is that right now, the people in Pitkin County are paying an unbelievably higher rate for their insurance premiums than the rest of the state.
So we already kind of are taxed based on location. The Colorado Care would not take into consideration where you reside.
Exactly, because I don't see any point in why you would be penalized because you live in Aspen and therefore you have to pay far more for the exactly same kind of health insurance from the same company as somebody that lives in Kit Carson.
That was Allison Bechtis with Aspen Public Radio talking with former Colorado State Senator Jeanine Nicholson. How oil and gas drilling can affect drinking water has been a source of controversy across the country, from Pavilion, Wyoming to Pennsylvania. Residents near drilling operations in the Keystone State have filed thousands of complaints and sometimes waited for years for answers. That's left some isolated communities to fend for themselves in a quest for clean water. For Inside Energy, Miriam Jamil from the Center for Public Integrity reports.
Come on, Don. Come on. Come on.
Fred McIntyre is directing cars to a U-Haul truck filled with hundreds of one-gallon water jugs.
Watch your toes.
About 45 families come here each week for drinking water. The number has grown steadily since 2011, when the first 12 families stopped feeling safe drinking from the wells at their homes. Their neighborhood's called the Conequenessing Woodlands. It's about 30 miles north of Pittsburgh. They rely on donations to keep the water drive going. Fred's wife, Janet, helps run it.
And as you see tonight, they were all anxious, very anxious to get their water.
They were anxious because the previous month, they ran out of donations.
Are they leakers? Oh, that one is.
The exact reason for their water problems isn't known. But many suspect it's because of all the natural gas drilling in their area. There are 65 gas wells within 2.5 miles of the neighborhood. When residents first started noticing issues like brown, smelly water, the local gas company, Rex Energy, trucked in water supplies for several months. But ultimately, no connection was found between the drilling and the dirty water. At least 8 families are now suing Rex Energy. Meanwhile, residents have to find clean water on their own.
You know, I got phone calls, do you have any water? Can I get some water off you? We rely on each other to get by.
The state has received more than 3,000 water supply complaints since 2007, when hydraulic fracturing or fracking took off here. The DEP provided data to the Center for Public Integrity on over 1,800 of those complaints. For more than half, the investigation took longer than the agency's target of 45 days to complete. Almost 1 in 10 took more than a year. Out of the 3,000 complaints, the DEP found a connection to oil and gas activity in less than 300. Figuring out whether fracking has impacted water can be really complex, and scientists don't always agree.
It's difficult and expensive scientifically. You don't have access to all the information that you wish you had.
Stanford professor Rob Jackson has been researching fracking and water since 2010 in different states, including Pennsylvania. He says the people whose water has actually been contaminated by fracking are a small minority.
Having said that, we've sampled quite a few people who we believe there is very strong evidence for impacts to their drinking water, and they can't get anyone to listen.
When his team found evidence of contamination in Texas and Pennsylvania, they got pushback from the industry and even state regulators. When they didn't find contamination in Arkansas, they got pushback from the environmental community. He said someone is always upset.
It's a challenging social environment to work in. It's not for the faint of heart.
Chuck Hunnell is not faint of heart. I talked to him and two of his colleagues at a diner in southwestern Pennsylvania's Greene County.
Every time I get so disgusted, I say, well, I don't want to do this anymore. I think about Stacy and her kids. And I will do this until the day I die.
Chuck is a member of the local chapter of the Isaac Walton League, a conservation group. He's 73 years old, a former teacher and a Vietnam veteran. He got involved in water issues here after meeting a woman whose family got really sick after frack waste leaked near her home.
So the people that do end up having difficulty all over the country, they have no one to go to. No one whatsoever.
Along with other league members, he's monitoring water in the region's streams, concerned that state officials aren't doing enough to protect the environment from oil and gas production. 69-year-old Ken DeFalla is a chapter president.
You're looking at three guys here that would have never been any way, shape, or form protesters or holding signs. That's not who we are. We're just fed up.
The DEP declined multiple interview requests for this story, as did gas companies and industry groups. But in a statement, the DEP said it is close to finalizing rules on gas drilling to, quote, strengthen the protections for water supplies. Rules that would ban disposal pits and make companies that damage water supplies more responsible to residents. For Inside Energy, I'm Mariam Jamil with the Center for Public Integrity.
For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.